Good evening to our Central Baptist Church family and friends, as well as viewers. Today is actually Wednesday evening, July the 8th. We hope that you had a wonderful holiday weekend celebrating the independence of our country, and trust that God is keeping you safe, well, and healthy. In just a few moments, we're actually going to be looking in God's Word this evening at the book of Acts chapter 12. That's Acts chapter 12. If you don't have your Bible, go ahead and hit pause and go get that. If you do have it, go ahead and turn on over to Acts chapter 12. And we're going to be talking about prayer tonight. We're going to be looking at what God is showing us and telling us about prayer, and looking at some examples that you and I can and should follow as well. But let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather by way of technology, if not in person. Lord, we realize that we can use all things to be able to magnify you, and you have intended it to be that way. Father, tonight I pray that we will take a good look at prayer and how prayer is effective in our hearts and lives as we look at this example in your word in the book of Acts tonight. So Lord, bless our time. Watch over each and every one. Give them a special blessing for having tuned in, as Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump right into our scripture. Like I said a little while ago, we're looking at the book of Acts chapter 12, and we're going to look at the effectiveness of prayer. We're going to look at what it is that you and I ought to be doing. You know, so many times we take prayer requests as a church when we come together. You know, we'll say to somebody, look, why don't you pray for me? I'm in a tough time right now. I'm going through this particular situation in my life, or there's a health issue. And we call on each other as a Christian family to pray for one another. So when we do that, are we really taking that in such a serious fashion, realizing that God does answer prayer? Realizing that God is wanting us to pray. He tells us in his word to pray without ceasing. Acts chapter 12 gives us a great, great example of not only what a praying church can do, but what prayers can do for someone. So let's look together at the word of God in Acts chapter 12. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the day of the unleavened bread. Verse 4, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side to raise him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. Verse 12, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is an angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we will truly heed your word as an example, Lord, of how we should live and of how we should pray. So bless our time, Father, and may your word come to life within our heart as the Holy Spirit teaches us. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to ask you a question. How do you feel when you know that somebody's praying for you? Or when somebody says, "You know, I want to pray for you in these circumstances or situations," is that something that makes you feel fulfilled inside? Is it something that you look and say, "Well, you know what? If this person is praying, I know their walk. I know how they're walking with the Lord. I know they get the ear of God when they pray, and I'm so grateful that they're praying for me." You know, there are probably some times when somebody says, "Well, I'm praying for you," and either by their own confession or by the way they live their life, you know that they're not. That they're not a believer. And so then you're like, "Well, what difference does it make if you're praying for me?" But when somebody that we know and love, somebody who is a professing born again Christian says, "Look, I'm praying for you in the midst of this tough situation, in the midst of this health crisis," or whatever it may be that you're going through, it brings you comfort to know that somebody is praying for you. You know, do you believe that prayer can change the circumstances of your life? Yeah, that's one of the biggest questions. Do you believe that through prayer, God can change those situations that seem impossible to mankind? The impossible situation of your relationship, the impossible situation of your health issue, the impossible situation of your family, the impossible situation of your job. Do you believe that prayer can change that? You know, that's one of the things that we have done as a church so often. When we come together, we take those prayer requests, and it's not just because we need something else to do to fill the time that we have allotted, but it is because we gather as a people believing that prayer changes things. You know, we take that list, and you can rest assured that when you give a prayer request to our church or to your Sunday school classes or to your small groups or whatever it may be, those are folks that are going to pray for you, and you count on them to pray for you because you know that prayer can certainly change things. If not, I trust that you will take a careful reading of Acts chapter 12 as an example of how prayer truly does change things. So in our story today, Peter is actually rescued from prison because there were those that were praying for him. Yeah, you know, when we look at the word, it says in Acts chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now about the time that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church." He didn't like the things that were taking place. He didn't like what was going on. He began to harass, it says right there, some of the church. It was like, "Well, let's just find some of those that are believers and you know, let's do some harassment." And you can insert what that may be. We know what harassment meant to King Herod, because he tells us that in verse 2, where it says, "Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." So harassment meant a little bit more than name calling. It meant a little bit more than just making situations tough or even impossible. It could mean even death, as it did with James, the brother of John. Now, what happened was something interesting kind of clicked and took place when he actually killed James, because verse 3 says, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also." So what happened was, when he killed James, he saw how joyous the folks were, how it pleased the Jews, to the point that he said, "Oh, well, hey, they're liking this." I mean, what kind of a political statement would that be? Yeah, as a politician, as it were, yeah, the king, he said, "Well, I want to do what pleases the people." We've seen examples of that, not only throughout God's word, we see examples of that in our current day and age. So Herod saw how this was something pleasing. So he thought, "I'm onto something here. This is what the people like. This is what we'll do." So it says that they got a hold of Peter Well, there was a problem. He got a hold of Peter. Instead of killing him right there, notice what the latter part of verse 3 says. It says, now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So there was a festival, or there was a time that was going on that was a sacred time. And even Herod thought, well, you know, this is not going to be a really good time to put Peter's life to an end in front of them, because it's going to mess up what they've got going on. It'll mess up the festival. But I've got an idea. I'm still going to kill him, but I'm going to wait until it gets past this this sacred time. But verse 4 says, So when he had him arrested, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. And the latter part of that verse tells us why he did that, because it says, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. In other words, he thought, well, we're just going to wait till this is over with. And, you know, once the festival is over with, once everything has taken place, then we'll bring Peter out, and then we'll, you know, we'll kill him there. So that was his plan. So he puts him into prison. And verse 5 talks about that it says that Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. When Peter was taken into custody, and they knew essentially what the outcome was going to be, they began to pray for him. The church had gathered around, and based on what we read in this particular passage, they gathered together and they began to pray for Peter. They began to pray that God would spare his life. They began to pray that God would do something special in Peter's life. And I asked you a little while ago, I said, do you believe that God answers prayer? The most effective praying person is the one who prays with expectancy, not only that God can, but that God will answer those prayers. These folks, as they gathered, they prayed. Now, they had a little bit of an issue, as we read a little bit further, and we'll get to it in just a moment, but they prayed. They were sitting there saying, you know, I know God can. Let's pray for him. Let's offer his name before the Lord. Let's intercede on his behalf. So it says that constant prayer was taking place. And what took place after that was something, you know, above miraculous, because as Peter slept, and I often thought about that. I want you to ponder this for just a moment. It says that as Peter slept, let me ask you this question. If you were in Peter's situation, do you think you could sleep? I mean, Peter knew that one of his buddies had already been killed. He knew what was in store for him, that he was probably in his last few days. And yet he laid down and he went to sleep. Now, I believe that when somebody trusts and believes in the Lord and rests, you know, we hear that term often in the Bible, that we rest in his love, that we rest in his provision, that we rest in everything about who God is, and he provides for us peace in our heart. I believe with all of my heart that Peter had peace in his heart. That's the reason he was able to lay his head down. That is the reason that he was able to sleep. And as he was asleep, it says that in verse 7, it says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side to raise him up. That kind of makes me laugh, because it makes me think, here was Peter, he was asleep, and the angel's happening to kind of, you know, jab him in the side to get him up. It says he told him once he got him up, latter part of verse 7, he said, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Didn't have to have a key, didn't have to have anything. The chains just fell off. Verse 8 says, then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. This angel is telling Peter, get dressed. We're getting ready to go. Chains are off. Grab your stuff. We're out of here. In verse 9, it says, it talks about how Peter was obedient as this angel led him. It says, verse 9, so he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't even realize that what was taking place at that particular point was real. You ever had one of those dreams that was so real to you that you felt like it was reality? Well, that was kind of where Peter was. He didn't know exactly what was taking place and going on. All he knew was that he was doing what he had been told to do. So he thought he was seeing a vision. And it says in verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second guard post, They came to an iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Gate just opened up by itself. Didn't even have to open it. It said it opened of its own accord. It goes on in verse 10. It says, and they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Now, that would be kind of an interesting situation. Here's this angel that has led you through all this, and now once you're out of the prison, it says that the angel is gone. Peter's probably standing there thinking, well, what do I do now? Verse 11 says, and when Peter had come to himself, in other words, he realized this wasn't a dream. He said this. He said, verse 11, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. Yeah, at this particular point, Peter says, I know what's happened. A miracle has just taken place. I have just been delivered by God from the hand of mine enemy. You know, at this particular point, we don't even know if Peter knew that he was being prayed for by the church. Verse 12 says it. So it says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter is essentially been sent to the prayer meeting where people were gathered and praying for him and praying for his safety and praying that that he would be delivered. And the answer to this is just so amazing. It makes me laugh even as I think about it. Let's look at it again. Verse 12, it says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and praying. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. It says, and when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Can you imagine what that must have been like? You know, Peter's knocking at the door. He's probably trying to be quiet because essentially he has just escaped prison. And Rhoda comes up to the door, young female, and she recognizes that it's Peter's voice, and she is so surprised. Now, I don't know whether that was a shock surprise or a glad surprise, but she knew what was going on in the other room. In the other room, there was a prayer meeting going on for the deliverance of Peter, and now she is at the door hearing his voice. She was so excited that she didn't even open the door for him. Peter's still standing out there knocking. But what she did was instead of opening the door for him, she ran back and announced in verse 14, says this, it says, and when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood at the gate. So could you imagine how exciting that would have been if you'd have been part of the prayer meeting, that an answer to a prayer that you were in the process of praying has come to fruition? Man, you would think that people would be standing up and hugging each other or high-fiving or whatever it may be. They'd be sitting there praising the Lord for it. Would they do? Did they believe it? No, because it says in verse 15 that they answered the little girl Rhoda and said, you are beside yourself in verse 15. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. See, they're believing that something's already happened to Peter. They're like, if you're seeing Peter, then what's happened is they must have gone ahead and killed him. Yeah, it must be his angel. Obviously, it couldn't be him, was their thought. Now, one of the issues with that was we have to ask ourselves, was that group praying with expectancy? When they prayed to God, were they really expecting God to deliver Peter? Was it just a bunch of fluff and set back and say, well, it sounds good for us to come together and pray? Was it something that was just that they felt like was just therapeutic for themselves to come together and pray? Folks, I want to challenge you today to realize that God is a God of miracles, and he is a God that answers prayer. Not something that we just want to write down a list to make us feel better that we're mentioning somebody before God. But when we pray, we need to pray with expectancy. You know, it doesn't say what they were praying for Peter for, but you know what? If they were in that room and they were praying, asking God to deliver Peter, then they need to be praying, expecting Peter to be knocking on the door, not expecting, you know, something other than that, like they were presuming that, if you're thinking that it's him, we don't think it is. Maybe it's an angel. Maybe it's a spirit. Maybe they've already killed him. No, folks, when we pray to God and we're asking him for something, we need to do so knowing that he can fulfill what that prayer request that we're lifting up is really all about. I love what a great brother of mine had often said. Randy Minnix used to always say this. He would say, I know God can. The question is, will God? And what that spoke to was not the fact of whether or not God was limited in his power, because we know he certainly wasn't. We know God can. It's whether or not it was part of his will for the person's life that we're praying for. So that's sometimes God says, that's not what my will is. But we still pray with expectancy. So as they arrived, and they didn't believe that it was him. Verse 16 says, and now Peter continued knocking at the door. Remember, Rhoda didn't let him in. She continued to knock at the door. In verse 16, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Folks, why is it that when God answers our prayers, we sit back amazed, like, wow, look at what God did. It's all right to say, look at what God did, but oftentimes it's not because we're putting forth the awesome power of God, but it's because we're surprised that he did something. We're surprised that he did this. Folks, when we pray, it shouldn't be a surprise. Yeah, you know, I had a person tell me one time when we were praying over somebody that was sick on one of our mission trips in Cuba, and I loved what one of my guys said, because I knew that these were faithful men, and I knew these were men who believed in the power of God and believed in the power of prayer. And as we prayed, I still remember that one of my guys there, after it was over with, he said, I was praying with one eye closed and one eye open. And I said, well, what were you doing that for? He said, because I was waiting on this fellow to get up out of this bed and walk. And yeah, I believe with all my heart that God wants us to trust in him and believe in his power and have expectancy as we pray. I love that testimony from that great brother who said, I was waiting to see him get up, because that's how we ought to be praying. When we tell somebody that we're going to be praying for him, we need to make sure, first of all, that we do that, that we're not just blowing smoke, that when we say we're going to lift you in prayer, that we do. And then when we do, we need to understand that people who are interceding on behalf of the circumstances and situations of others are doing so, believing that God is going to do something incredible in the midst of that situation. Verse 17 goes on, it says this, it says, but motioning to them with his hands, and this is Peter, motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. It's kind of funny when you think about how he's talking to them. They're excited to see him. They're probably in shock, a lot of them, and probably getting loud. But verse 17 says, Peter motioning to him with his hands, he was sitting there going, shh, 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 be it. Keep it down, keep it down. I've just escaped prison. But here are the things that are taking place, and here are the things that are going on. God really, really is good. God has delivered me. Now, there are a lot of lessons that could be learned right there. Peter, his faith was strengthened to see what it was that God had done in his life. But think about how the faith of those who had gathered, the church that had gathered to pray for him, even though they weren't praying with expectancy, when they saw what God did, think about how their faith must have increased. Think about how your faith increases when you see God answer prayer in such a fashion that you know, oftentimes we're like, wow, look at what God did. God wants to do incredible things where man cannot. Yeah, that God steps up in situations that man thinks is impossible. That's when he can get the credit. That's when he can get the glory. Not only from those who have been affected by the prayer, but also those who have been praying the prayer, because boy, what a faith builder that really is. Yeah, in what ways is our faith often like the people that were at Peter's prayer meeting? You know, sometimes we pray, sometimes we're going through motions. Sometimes when God answers our prayer, it surprises us in a shocked kind of way, as opposed to an excited kind of way. So I'm asking you, you know, when you sit back and when you think about that today, how does incredible answers to prayer affect you and affect your prayer life? What an example to follow. As we've been going through these readings, we've been looking for many, many different concepts. We've talked so many times about examples to follow and those type things. Well, this is an example to follow. We need to be able to, first of all, follow the example of faith of the church that came together to pray for Peter, but we also need to enhance that a little bit more, that we might be praying in an effective way, in an expecting way. We're expecting God to do some incredible things. Now, I love stories like this. I love to hear it. I've experienced them in my life where we have prayed and we have seen God do incredible things. How's your prayer life? Are we following the example that we read about here in Acts chapter 6? Are we like the church, at least in the regard of having enough faith to intercede on behalf of those that we know and those that we love? Take that prayer list that you get, or that prayer list that you can pull from online since we're not even being able to meet together. Pray for those folks and watch God not only do incredible things in their life, but he'll do some incredible things in your life as well. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you. I want to go ahead and give you the Bible readings for next week. Next week, as we head into July the 15th, your Bible readings are actually going to be Acts chapter 17 through Acts chapter 21. Once again, that's Acts chapter 17 through Acts chapter 21. And the focal passage for next Wednesday on the 15th is going to be Acts chapter 17, the first 9 verses. We thank you again for taking this time to join us. We thank you for your prayers. We anxiously await the time and look forward to when we are going to have those opportunities to be able to shake hands and give hugs again. I know some people say, I'm probably not going to do that from here on out. That's okay. But as long as we can be able to be together, once again, encourage each and every one of you to remain safe, stay as healthy as you possibly can. And we look forward to gathering again around the Word of God. Let me close you in a word of prayer. And we praise you again and thank you for joining us. As a reminder, don't forget you can still give by electronic means. You can go to our website, give electronically to keep up your tithe. You can drop it by the church during office hours, which are 9 to 4 Monday through Thursday, or you can mail it to the church at P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and I trust and pray that God has increased your faith, and you're going to increase your prayer because of what you've seen in these situations through God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the fact that we can come to you in prayer. What a privilege it really is. We think about the fact that at the crucifixion, when the temple veil was rent, that signified that the only mediator between God and us is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we can come into your presence with our prayer. Thank you, Lord, that when I bow my head and say, "My Father," you call me by name and you say, "Yes, Roy." Lord, help me to remember that privilege to be able to carry my brothers and sisters, Lord, that are believers, as well as my brothers and sisters that are not believers. Lord, my circumstances and situations, you want me to carry them to you in prayer. But Lord, as I pray, I also ask that you will teach us that we need to do so with expectancy, expecting great things from you. Lord, we'll go attempt great things for you, and we can expect great things from you. So, Lord, give us a great week. Help us to be instruments in your hand. And, Lord, help us to have something just to be able to come back and share with others about how good you truly are. Enhance our prayer life. Draw us close. And, Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.